WK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats are launching a public campaign against efforts to impeach Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Terry Bell reports.
The Wisconsin Democratic Party and other groups begin a $4 million public opinion campaign today called Defend Justice. It will employ everything from door-to-door appeals to TV ads to pressure Republicans in the state legislature to drop plans to impeach the liberal justice. Ben Wickler is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He says impeachment would be like throwing out more than 1 million votes cast in April.
Try selling that to the voters who just elected Justice Protasiewicz in an 11-point landslide. Voters do not like having their voting rights ripped away. They've responded to those threats before, and make no mistake, they would do so again.
Republicans say Protasiewicz's campaign comments about gerrymandering amount to judicial misconduct since the court may rule on the state's legislative maps. But the Wisconsin Judicial Commission has dismissed several such Republican complaints as baseless. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Social media platforms are doing less these days to fight election misinformation. There's a bill in Congress to ban false statements about voting on social media. Emma Steiner is with the good government group Common Cause.
Disinformation spreaders and disinformation campaigns tend to target marginalized populations and people who live in information voids, meaning they don't have the resources or capacity to find reliable information.
Among other things, the Freedom to Vote Act would also establish national voting standards and stop partisan gerrymandering. The first grade teacher that criticized the Waukesha School District for preventing her class from singing the song Rainbow Land has filed a First Amendment lawsuit against the district. Melissa Temple was put on leave after the incident and fired from the job in July after a vote from the Waukesha School Board. A state wildlife area near Whitewater is about to get twice as big. Here's Nate Wegehout.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is buying more than 1,800 acres of land in Jefferson County next to the Princes Point Wildlife Area. The agency will get to work right away restoring wetlands with the help of federal money. The new expanded wildlife area will be geared for duck hunting, paddling, and bird watching. There will also be opportunities for boating, canoeing, and hiking. Some areas could be open to the public in a matter of weeks. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Dry conditions this summer may have helped Wisconsin cranberry growers learn more about pollinator effects on the crop. Many farmers bring in commercial bees to pollinate their cranberries each year. Researchers with the University of Wisconsin Extension are studying the impact outside pollinators have compared to wild bees. The dry conditions this year have been good for that research. Cranberry bogs will begin to be flooded later this month when the harvest begins. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. People in Waukesha should anticipate some changes in the smell and color of their water next week as the city transitions to using Lake Michigan water. The shift may lead to temporary issues such as a smell and a reddish hue in the water. The mayor is assuring everyone that the unusual color and smell should dissipate relatively quickly. He does suggest to wait until it clears out before you do any laundry. Some parents in the Waukesha School District faced a crazy start to the school year as they were informed just a few days before classes started that some bus routes were still without drivers. Parents impacted have been told that the schools are being flexible with drop-off and pickup times to accommodate the inconveniences. The district is already working with First Student, the bus company, to reduce the number of bus routes. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers go for a series win in Pittsburgh. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers facing the Pirates today at PNC Park. First pitch at 11:35 this morning to wrap up their three-game series. Last night, the crew with a 7-3 win over Pittsburgh. Brandon Woodruff pitched seven scoreless innings for Milwaukee, and Mark Canha again driving in runners on base.
Canha into left field, a base hit. Contreras coming around to score. Santana will be held as the ball is bobbled by Palacios. Now Santana coming home. He will score. Canha is in a rundown and tagged out. Regardless, it's 7-0.
Highlight courtesy Bally Sports Wisconsin. Canha has successfully reached on base in 16 consecutive games and was asked about his approach at the plate.
Just the way I've been staying in the moment and just being present, kind of taking what the pitcher gives me and having feel for the game. And I think that's kind of the most important thing, and just being in the moment.
College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickle, after watching the tape of Wisconsin's win over Buffalo, and Badgers quarterback Tanner Mordecai with one touchdown and two interceptions.
You can hesitate, you can get mad, you can throw your hands up in the air, then all of a sudden you act like you're going to make the play and you don't. And in both of the interceptions, he made the play. The one he made, the guy cut back, they end up falling, but they end up getting no points out of that, you know, and he makes the tackle pretty much on the second one. And to me, that's more of what I want to see more than anything else.
NFL, the Packers open the season on the road Sunday for the fifth time in a row when they face the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It's the first NFL game for new punter Daniel Whelan. Now, the last time the Packers played in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers told Bear fans he owns them. What does Jordan Love think?
I mean, I think everyone's excited for, you know, season start for week one. Obviously, you know, playing the Bears, which is our rival. So, you know, everyone's just, I think, really excited. You know, getting that ball rolling with the season starting, to focus on, you know, game plan and, you know, what Chicago's doing.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. It's cooling off.
It's about time.
Oh, man. It's all next week. And actually, for the next 7 days, it'll barely be 70 degrees. Is that all right with you?
I'm fine with that. That's probably my perfect temperature.
Really? 70?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 70. Push it up to about 75, and I'll be satisfied with that. But that heat and humidity, man, can you imagine? You know, I was talking with my son last night in Arizona, and he said it's going back to about 112. And I'm like, he said, well, it was down to 93. I said, well, could you tell the difference? And he said, well, yeah, you can tell the difference, but we just have to make it through September and all will be all right.
I don't know. I'm staying in the house even if it's 93. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, Calvin, man, I was just listening to the news reporter, and he was interviewing one of the Brewer players, and he was talking about he had been on base, I guess, 16 straight games. And they asked him, well, what's going on? He said, well, you know, just being in the moment, you know, staying in the present. What? We're talking about baseball, right? I'm trying to understand what that means. Being in the moment, you know, and being present, I guess, you know, you'd have to be an athlete to know what that is, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of just his way of saying, I don't know, I hit the ball.
That's about it, man. That's about it. Well, let me see if I got it right. Okay, so today I'm going to stay in the moment. You know, I'm going to be in the present. That's what I'm going to do today and every day on the show. Be in the moment. Being in the moment and being present. That's my new motto every morning on the show. Okay, so here goes. For whatever that means. Anyway, man, you hear about self-driving cars, man?
Yes.
What's your take on that, man?
I don't think the technology is there yet to be safe to use, but I think in 5, 10, 15 years, I think the majority of people will be using them.
The majority of people?
At least a good amount.
So San Francisco, and I didn't know this, you know, the self-driving cars, taxis are already happening. They've got fleets of self-driving taxis in San Francisco, and they're having some issues with them, as you would expect. The technology is early, and when you make a decision, there's a business called Cruise, and they're self-driving taxis. So they're all over San Francisco. One of the problems is when first responders need to get by, and they're flashing the red lights, the self-driving taxi doesn't even understand what that is. And so there was this situation where the first responders blame a death on one of these self-driving, taxis that blocked the ambulance and wouldn't allow it to get through. And the injured person, which resulted in the death of the injured person that was in the emergency vehicle. Now, I don't know, again, the name of this company is called Cruise. It's a robo-taxi firm. And they're right now being sued by, I'm sure the family member of the person that died. And I bet they never even gave that a second thought, right?
It seems like a pretty obvious oversight. You would think that emergency vehicles would be something you would consider when programming something that needs to share the road with emergency vehicles. So I definitely think there's grounds for the lawsuit.
I'm sure there is grounds for the lawsuit, but the fact that they're more concerned, I guess, about the inner workings of this thing and the safety aspects of it, but to never give it a thought about the safety vehicles, right? That's an oversight. But I wonder what the thoughts are of those who are up this early in the morning. I never gave that a second thought. But to me, you're replacing the guy who drives the cabs. And whatever they make, I don't know. I guess it must be a cab driver must be compensated pretty decently today. There was a time when they didn't, receive a lot of pay, but I'm sure they're compensated well today. And so you've replaced these cab drivers, with these electronic, vehicles that don't need, and pretty soon it'll be that way with the buses, Calvin. Maybe it'll be that way with trains. Hey, Calvin, I got an idea. Maybe it'll be that way with airplanes. Where does the stuff stop, right? Let's go to Jack from Racine. Hey, good morning to you, Jack. You're up early in the morning. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. I've been reading about self-driving cars for a little while. I haven't done extensive research, but read a few articles that were good ones. One by a guy who actually owns a Tesla. He's very much an advocate of that type of thing. He recreated some fatal accidents, and if you look it up, there have been a number of fatal accidents.
No question, with Tesla, right.
Car kept going straight, ran into the semi, didn't stop because of the configuration of the curve and the roads and things like that. He recreated those, and he found it still happened, even after they said it was fixed. So, my position is, at this point, with fatal accidents and other accidents occurring and problems like you mentioned that haven't been foreseen, I think they got to outlaw those things. I have a feeling there are people driving around with those things in Wisconsin. It does make me feel good. I wish it would not be allowed.
You know, Jack, man, your point is well taken. I watched the commercials and they've these self-driving things are permeating new cars. You can order them almost in any vehicle, and I just wonder. I would not feel comfortable What sense does it make if I'm in the vehicle and I'm behind the wheel and I'm allowing technology to drive it for me? I mean, how does that make any sense?
I don't think it does, and it seems like we have to wait until there's huge problems before, even though you could foresee those problems, until we make decisions. How many people have to die in those things before someone would stop it?
Well, you know, part of the reason that people don't want to stop it right now is because of the huge investment, right? And which I've always argued against. It shouldn't matter about the money. It should matter about the safety of people, right? People should always trump the money part of it in you know, the world that I live in, but I live in a different world than what's really taking place out here, Jack, and it sounds like you do as well. But it just, to me, they moved this thing too fast. And like I said, I wasn't aware. Were you aware that they already have fleets of these things moving around in different parts of this country already?
Yeah, I had read that there were large numbers and fleets out west in California. And again, I just think you're right. It's people should trump investment. That's not, somebody made an investment. An investment isn't guaranteed. When they make investments, okay, they made a big investment. There's a lot of money in it. Who knows? Some of my retirement fund might be in there, but you know what? The investments aren't supposed to be a guaranteed win, and they lose sometimes. So people should trump investments.
Hey, Jack, man! Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Calvin, I don't know how much extra money it costs when you go out and buy a new car and you say, "Hey, I want that new technology, the driverless technology." It's got to cost a fortune, right? You know, my wife has a vehicle. I think it's a 2023 or it might be a 2022. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it will, if you get too close to a car and it won't allow you to rear end a car in front of you. You ever hear that?
Yeah, I've heard that.
So if you're, which I think is a good idea, but there was a time, and she's listening, so she's probably never going to let me drive a car again, right? that I may have gotten a little too close, and man, the thing stops, right? It'll all of a sudden just stop the car. So you won't rear end somebody. Now that's a great idea, right? But that's a long way away from, you know, you sitting behind the wheel, and you don't have to pay any attention because the vehicle is doing all the work. Now I know that this is going to move on as well, Calvin. I think you and our first caller, Jack. We all know that they're going to move this on to other, you know, buses and trains and airplanes and, you know, jet fighter planes and, you know, hey, maybe radio talk show hosts. Anyway, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Phone lines are open. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Auto Glass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Auto Glass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Auto Glass Now today for full details.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered storms today, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 80, winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows dip down to about 57, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 68. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The entertainer, you made them laugh and you left them feeling glad. You made them cry and you left them feeling sad. They've seen you perform in so many plays, but they're not to know you're unhappy today. So they'll never know. Go on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Daryl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Talking about, you know, these new vehicles that, you know, self-driving, don't need a human being around. And in San Francisco, there's protests about, you know, the fact that these taxis have caused all sorts of problems and trouble. Here's one. Including taxi, you know, protesters, including taxi drivers and city transit workers gathered outside the Cruise headquarters, which is a company that opened up that has all these driverless taxis on Monday, and mentioned the situation involving robo-taxis and the ambulance multiple times. In an incident on August 14th, first responders were treating a pedestrian who had been struck by a vehicle and had life-threatening injuries with significant bleeding. Two autonomous Cruise vehicles had stopped in nearby lanes and were not moving, blocking entrance, according to a San Francisco Fire Department report obtained by Forbes magazine. As the emergency crews loaded the patient into an ambulance, the vehicles remained stopped in the two lanes, and police attempted to take over the vehicles manually. And they were unsuccessful. The report states the fire department had to locate police officers on the scene and ask them to move this vehicle in order to leave the scene, which the report states further delayed the patient care. Let's go to Mr. Anonymous. Good morning to you, Mr. Anonymous. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Hello, Earl.
Hi, how are you?
So, very well. My concern is, like, after that, at first I was surprised that there's, like, fleets of them and they're using them for taxi services or other services, but what happens when they release them to the public? I can see a lot of people thinking, I have a self-driving car, I can have one more drink or, you know, be altered and drive. And I know the way technology works, and then once the public gets it, and it just takes off.
Well,
what do you think of that?
Well, listen, the technology is already there. You, as Calvin and I were talking about before, you can go into a new car dealership and you can request, in many instances, driverless vehicles, and you know, or this technology, and you can purchase that. And so, you know, as Calvin was saying earlier, that came into existence with what Elon Musk, what are those cars he has?
Tesla.
And so that technology is 3, 4, 5 years old already. So it already exists, Ms. Anonymous. I think that the other part of it is another technology that exists is if you're inebriated already, there's ways to shut your vehicle off. You know, there's new technology and you where you won't be behind the wheel. You're right that this is what's going to happen. And so the thing is, the genie's out of the bottle already. And now there's gold in them dar hills. There's money to be made. And so people aren't going to be concerned about, you know, people. People don't matter when money is involved. And so, yeah, this is going to happen more and more and more. Your point is valid and well taken.
All right. Yeah, because they're not going to sell the two technologies together where you have to blow in, you know, prove that you're not inebriated and then the self-driving car. Yeah. Like, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I don't know. I just sometimes I think technology gets way ahead of us.
Well, but you know what?
We're all...
You know what, Ms. Anonymous? It's not technology as much as it is, and Calvin, it's the human being who has access to the technology. If they would use it properly, if we would use it properly, look how beneficial it can be. But if we're going to use the technology, you know, in ways to just make more money, that's where we get into trouble. Calvin?
Yeah, what the self-driving cars struggle with is interacting with people. So in theory, the more self-driving cars are on the road, the safer the self-driving cars would be. And in theory, they would be safer than people driving. But I don't think the technology is close to that point yet.
Well, so the mix of people on the road with cars that, you know, that really are built to not even cause accidents, those self-driving cars, is fine if everybody had a self-driving car. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but the mix with people is where the problem is. Hey, thank you very much for the call, my friend. Thank you for listening. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. But the show must go.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The UN's weather agency says we are almost through the hottest summer ever recorded in the Northern Hemisphere. Here in the U.S., we're still sweltering under a September heat dome. Meteorologist Stephanie Abrams at the Weather Channel.
More triple-digit heat in Oklahoma, Texas, also Louisiana, and the 90s are going to stretch all the way into the Northeast.
Secretary of State Blinken's made an unannounced visit to Kyiv.
Every time I'm here, I'm struck by the extraordinary bravery and resilience of the Ukrainian people, the Ukrainian
forces.
He's expected to announce $1 billion in new U.S. assistance to Ukraine. One pharma company is reporting success with an updated COVID vaccine. CBS's Cammie McCormick has the details.
The new subvariant is raising fears of a resurgence in infections, but Moderna claims its shot provided a more than 8% increase in protection.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Rainbow Land teacher in Waukesha is suing the school district. Melissa Temple has started legal action alleging a violation of her First Amendment rights. Temple was terminated from her position several months after advocating for her elementary school class to perform Miley Cyrus's Rainbow Land song at a school concert, a move deemed inappropriate by Waukesha superintendent. The Waukesha School Board contends that her actions were against district policies. More than 1,800 acres of farmland in Jefferson County is being restored. The goal is to expand the existing Prince's Point Wildlife Area near Whitewater. The project aims to enhance waterfowl hunting, paddling, and bird watching opportunities. Access to the expanded wildlife area is expected to be available by 2025. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth. I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. This is as heartbreaking a story, I think, that I've ever, you know, been around and ever followed. And I don't get it. I just absolutely don't get it. You know, about a year ago, Calvin, a young boy, 10 years old at the time, in the city of Milwaukee. Or actually, I think it was in Brown Deer, which is, you know, right next to Milwaukee. You know, a mentally disturbed young boy wanted one of those, what do you call those things, man, you put on your eyes and you look through it and it takes you into a different world.
VR goggles?
Yeah, VR goggles. And he asked his mom, he said, I want this. And she told him no. And those things are kind of expensive anyway. And he was able to navigate her credit card and order this thing. And, well, she told him no. And so he did not like that. He didn't want to, you know, hear that. Young mom, you know, just graduating from college. And a young boy was able to get her gun. And he said that he was trying to scare her. Again, you know, his young boy had been diagnosed with some mental illness. And he fired the gun and he hit his mom in the head and killed her. And so this young boy has been charged as an adult. And he is, as we speak, being tried as an adult. And I just, for the life of me, at 10 years old, to say that this young boy should be held accountable as an adult in this tragedy is wrong. Now, the child who remains unidentified and has a documented history of mental illness, remember that. He has a documented history of mental illness, was assessed by a pair of psychologists before Judge Carroll concluded to prosecute him as an adult last Thursday. He has documented history of mental illness. So explain to me how Judge Carroll, who, you know, said we're going to move ahead with the prosecution and prosecute him as an adult last Thursday, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the psychologist examined the child's comprehension of the offense's gravity and the allegations brought against him, dismissing the boy's defense attorney's argument that he was not fit to stand trial as an adult. The judge concluded he was stating he had not received a major mental diagnosis and could understand and grasp what was happening around him. I saw him on television yesterday. If he could grasp what it was they were talking about, why was he coloring in a coloring book? For heaven's sakes, playing with a toy. At the time, they're talking about giving him life in prison. And then you're saying, and these people are saying, he understands the gravity of the situation. For heaven's sakes, he's coloring in a coloring book. He's an 11-year-old child. Yes, he killed his mom. Still a child. And why it's so critically important about whether or not he gets tried as a child or as an adult. If he's tried as an adult, he'll have life in prison. If he's tried as a child, he'll get the psychological help that he needs and he'll have a chance to live his life. Yes, he'll never be the same, because how can you ever overcome that? Dismissing the boy's defense attorney's argument that he was not fit to stand trial as an adult, the judge concluded he was stating he had not received a major mental diagnosis and could understand and grasp what was happening around him. According to Fox News, the Milwaukee County prosecutor, Sarah Wandsmith, told the judge the child knew his case was in adult court, that he knew this case, his case was a felony. He knew that there were two types of cases, felonious and misdemeanors, and he knew it was serious. What a bunch of, come on. I know at 10 years old, I could not tell whether or not anything was a juvenile court. I didn't know the difference between a juvenile and an adult. Okay? I didn't know the difference between a felony or a misdemeanor. They're trying to say that this young boy knew and knows the difference between those things. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm interested in your thoughts on this. Yes, heartbreaking that his mother is no longer here. Heartbreaking that this young boy pulled the trigger. But he was 10 years old. He was 10 years old. He's now 11. And what's wrong with our justice system? And that any judge can sit, or district attorney, can make the case that this young boy knew the difference between a felony and a misdemeanor. You know, I get it. You know, this defense, prosecution attorney is trying to win a case. Never mind what's at stake. Now, there is no win in it anywhere. This young mother's gone. She had three other children. She was an exemplary mother based on all the things I've read. Made a mistake and left her gun in her purse or wherever it was. And the young boy knew where it was and got a hold of it. Not the first time a young boy or a young girl has gotten a hold to a firearm and fired it. Those are the inherent dangers with owning guns when you have children in your house. It's the reason they have locks on guns and lock boxes and lock cases. I don't know. I don't own a gun. But I do know that those are the reasons, because these types of situations happen all the time. Not where, you know, a young person takes the gun and supposedly aims it at his mom or someone, but accidentally shoots maybe their sibling or maybe somebody else. But to try this 10-year-old or now 11-year-old as an adult stinks to high heaven. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Calvin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that it doesn't make any sense. I think a history of mental illness.
Yeah, and he's got a history of mental illness.
In an adult, that would be like, you might be able to argue that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. A 10-year-old without mental illness, I would say, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. So a 10-year-old with mental illness, that's like two factors that I don't know how they reach that.
Well, and you know, and even if we're talking about right and wrong, we're beyond the right and wrong. Well, yeah. They're saying that he understands the difference between felony and misdemeanor, which is absolutely ridiculous. I get it. You know, people want, they clearly want justice. And you know, justice is not always just. In this instance, this young boy should be in a juvenile court. There's no question he should be in a juvenile court. And I understand there's a lot of people all over the nation and all over the world watching this case. And for heaven's sakes, for people to sit down who are engaged and involved in this, and even a psychiatrist, a psychologist who have gone through this. And here's the other part of this. Look, what do I know, man? I'm just a lowly talk show host. But I also know that everything that I've read says that the front lobe and development of it does not really reach full potential until at 25 or 26 years old. I didn't create that. I didn't write that. You know, the people who study, you know, the mind and the brain wrote that. And if that's the case, what are we talking about a 10-year-old? I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. And like I said yesterday, while they're showing the video of it, they can't show the kid's face. They show him coloring in a coloring book, for heaven's sakes, and playing with a toy that they've given him. And then a judge is standing there and saying, well, you know, he's you know, capable of understanding these proceedings. Not true. And I don't know what there is for them to gain with taking that perspective on it. What can they gain? You know, how can they sleep at night? Because there is a chance that if he's tried as an adult, that he can be convicted. There's always that chance. And then he'll be locked up for the rest of his life. Where are you going to put a 10-year, where are you going to put an 11-year-old, Calvin, in an adult court, in an adult prison? It just makes no sense. And so I, you know, look, I've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Got a lot more to talk about. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Beauty of old.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. you may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 80. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 57. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 68. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about, again, this tragic situation where this young 10-year-old boy at the time, you know, killed, shot and killed his mother, and now he's being tried as an adult. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for covering this tragic situation. It's been a long time, but I recall a mental health situation from years past and a comment made by an attorney who said that there is a disconnect between the mental health and the legal system. You know, and this is a prime example of that. You know, it does show some irresponsibility on the part of the parent who, you know, this is the last consequence she would have wanted for her beloved son. So it is just nothing but tragic.
Yeah, you know, it clearly is. And again, I don't know anybody who would stand on the side of agreeing that this 11-year-old child should be tried as an adult. And the fact that it's even being discussed and right now is on the fast track to happen. The young boy was in court on yesterday. And the fact that all of this should clearly, you know, if a young boy steals a car and he's 10 years old, they're not going to move him up to adult court, you know. He's going to remain in juvenile. There's a reason that they have juvenile justice systems and adult justice systems. Let me go here just to give you some kind of idea why we always, you know, we talk about the court systems as if they're always right. They're not. And here's a prime example. Here's a man who a poor soul. His name is Leonard Mack. He was convicted of rape. How long ago was this? Oh, one night in May of 1975, two teenage girls were walking home from the Woodlands High School in Manhattan, New York, through a wooded area of the Metropolis Golf Course, about 25 miles northeast of Manhattan. They passed a man walking toward them. When he doubled back and demanded they not turn around and threatened to kill them if they did, he then held them at gunpoint, used their clothes to gag them and bind their ankles and wrists, and raped one of them twice before fleeing. The girl who was raped ran home where her sister called police and she was taken to a hospital. The other girl ran to another school where a staff member also called the police. The description of the girls gave that the girls gave to police at the time was of a black man wearing a brimmed hat and an earring. Mack was pulled over by Westchester County Parkway police officer more than 2 hours later, about 5 miles from the scene. Police found a gun in the trunk of his car after police searched his vehicle. The girl's friend was taken to Mack's location and asked her whether Mack was the assailant. He was the only one there in handcuffs, surrounded by police officers, and the young girl said he was. What followed were more highly suggestive identification procedures, including one in which she told detectives that Mack's clothes did not match those of the rapist. Officers provided Mack different clothes, and she then said he was the one who attacked them. Now get that. The guy didn't have the clothes on of the person who raped them, but the police went and found some clothes that matched what they said, because the young girl didn't say this was the guy, the rapist, because she knew the clothes didn't match. But once they went and got the clothes that matched, she said, oh, yeah, that's him. Now, police ignored his protestations that he had been with his girlfriend that afternoon and with mechanics discussing car repairs and had nothing to do with the rape. The hardest thing was being charged, knowing I wasn't the kind of individual. This man, for 50 years, was an accused rapist who was in prison for 10 years, whose life was totally destroyed. And the Innocence Project then came to his rescue last year, and they finally overturned this tragedy because they were able to use DNA to find out that he wasn't the guy. His life is ruined. He's, top it all off, he's a Vietnam veteran. When they accosted him, the police and the system, Vietnam veteran, didn't matter. System's not always right. The system's not right now. That 10-year-old boy should not, 11-year-old boy, should not be in adult court. He should not be tried as an adult. No matter how tragic that situation is, somebody needs to have sanity enough to say this is not right. You know, somebody should have the sanity to say that. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. When we come back, it's Wednesday. That means we'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back. Give them what they want.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.